Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to a Super Bowl edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. Flying solo today because there's only one game to break down, and I think I can handle it. It's the Super Bowl, of course, and, you know, like our other playoff episodes, if you heard the previous several month or so, really focusing on a DFS orientation for these games. I'm still giving letter grades to every meaningful player, but it's within the spectrum of DFS, so it depends a lot on their cost. And a player who's normally just a rock-solid A, like Patrick Mahomes, may not be an A because of his salary. So, you know, we'll talk that through for each of the salient guys on both sides of the ball. Now, you already know these teams met in week number 12. We knew that game was a possible playoff or Super Bowl preview, and Kansas City ended up winning what was ultimately a close game. But you'll remember they staked out a huge lead early when Tyreek Hill went berserk at the beginning of the game. And then the Bucs with Tom Brady came back to make it a lot closer at the end. Let's start on the Buccaneers side. And I want to start with the running game and just talk broadly about that for a minute. It was a total non-factor in the earlier meeting because, again, Tyreek Hill went crazy at the beginning. And then really the running game, not even a factor. But what I want to stress to you more is going back to week 8, Kansas City's been a pretty good run defense, not shutdown. Tampa has a shutdown run defense, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's been good since week 8. So that's now, I believe, 13 games ago. I mean, through 13 games, it's pretty big sample size at that point. Only one back has topped 72 yards on the ground against Kansas City. They're giving up a modest 4.2 yards per carry. And maybe most importantly, teams are only averaging 19 rushes per game against Kansas City since week 8. That is the lowest in the league. So you just don't get volume with any of the running backs that face Tampa. The Chiefs. And it's usually because teams are falling behind, and that could happen here as well. And so I think there's a really strong angle that just says, you know what, you may just want to avoid the Buccaneers running backs. Ronald Jones clocks in at 3,300, however, which is very affordable. You know, he hit Kansas City for 7 yards per carry in the earlier matchup. It was only 9 carries, so it wasn't a big sample size. Like I said, they didn't run much, but still 7 yards per carry on 9 carries is pretty good. The Browns ran for 5 yards per carry against the Chiefs in the playoff game. But again, overall, the run defense is pretty good. I like Ronald Jones at 3,300 a lot more than Leonard Fournette at $11,000. These are DraftKings numbers, $11,000. So you got to pay three times as much for Leonard Fournette. Now, I know Fournette's coming off the better game, but if you've watched a moment of Buccaneers football this year, you know how inscrutable that backfield is. And just because Fournette got more work the past couple of weeks, and especially while Ronald Jones was getting healthy, doesn't mean that he's going to get more work here. So I prefer Ronald Jones. I've got a B grade on Jones. I've got a C grade on Leonard Fournette, and really hoping that I think he just catches more passes. I don't know that Fournette gets much done here, and he didn't do anything in the previous matchup, the Week 12 matchup. He had just 3 carries for 10 yards and 3 catches for 10 yards. So if you're going to have this really difficult to decipher backfield, I don't want the guy that costs three times as much. Leonard Fournette. I will take Ronald Jones. All right, let's go to the passing game. Tom Brady clocks in at $15,000. These are not the normal DFS prices. It's because, and I should mention this at the outset, I guess, but, you know, if you care enough about the DraftKings angle on it, then you probably already know it's all flex players. And as all flex players, all of the dollars change pretty dramatically here. So Brady comes in at 15,000. He threw for 345 yards and 3 touchdowns in the earlier matchup. Again, lots of volume in that one, playing from behind. Multiple touchdowns for Tom Brady in 10 straight games coming into this one. And the Chiefs have allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 9 of the last 10 games. So you know, the part I like about taking Brady is you don't have to guess which one of his many receiving targets is going to get paid. If you got Brady, you know what you're going to get. You know, you get all the passing touchdowns. You don't have to guess if this is going to be a Antonio Brown game, a Scotty Miller game, a Tyler Johnson game, a Chris Godwin game, a Rob Gronkowski game. You know, you Cameron Brate, you don't have to sweat any of that stuff. And that's really appealing for me as I try to decipher this. And that's part of the reason why I would take Tom Brady. I've got a B grade at him on him for $15,000. The receiver I like the best at his price point is Chris Godwin, $13,200. In the earlier matchup, he led all of the Bucs receivers in targets and receptions. He runs primarily from the slot, as you probably already know. Although we have seen him run a bit more outside when Antonio Brown got hurt, but Brown is expected to play. From the slot, he'll face off against talented rookie Legarius Sneed. Sneed's been good, but you could reasonably ask, is this moment too big for a rookie from Louisiana Tech who has played 10 NFL games? It could be. Will they test him early? They might. I would. I would test Legarius Sneed and find out just how ready he is to go. And I like Chris Godwin in this game, and that's why he comes in with a B grade. I like Mike Evans as well, $12,600. He had two scores in the earlier matchup. He's the NFL's most targeted player inside the 10-yard line. Now, Evans runs from all over the field, but most often he runs on the left side, where he'll match up with Bashaud Breeland, against whom he has a 6-inch and 35-pound size advantage. Breeland got beat for a touchdown in the Week 12 matchup. I'll mention that. And for Evans, his three playoff games, he had a 10-target, 119-yard game. Then he had a touchdown. Then he had a touchdown. Should be fully healed at this point with the extra week off. I like Evans as well. Also be great for Evans. So Evans and Godwin, to me, both guys that I think are do make some sense. Although, again, I think Brady's the safer play, so you don't have to guess which receiving option is going to be the hot hand. So that brings us to Antonio Brown is the next wide receiver to talk about. He's 9,300. I think that's too much money for a guy, although he practiced in full on Friday. And there's a contrarian angle here where people just aren't going to want to risk Antonio Brown because he's got the knee injury. But we don't know what his snap count is going to look like. There's always the risk of aggravation on the injury. So that's a $9,300 is a lot for an injured player. And I think the only way you take Antonio Brown is if you want to go contrarian. The other receivers are pretty interesting in that Tyler Johnson's only $1,800. I mean, practically a free spot. He only had 19 snaps last week with Antonio Brown out. Whether or not they would put a rookie receiver in the Super Bowl in a position to have to make a big play, I'm not sure. And that's a fair question. He plays on the outside, and he's got relatively neutral matchups on the outside, probably slightly negative matchups, actually, against Breeland and Ward on the outside for Tyler Johnson. $1,800, though, is pretty compelling. One of the cheapest plausible players you could put into a DraftKings lineup. Then the last receiver, Scotty Miller, coming in at $5,100. I liked him a lot more when Antonio Brown looked like he was going to be out, but it looks like Brown's going to be in. He played quite a bit last week with Brown out. Now, your angle on Miller is basically this. He's super fast, and the outside cornerbacks, Breeland and Ward, are slower on the slower side. They're 4'6 guys, 4'5 guys. And so that means that Miller's got a chance to break a long one. And if you're in a bigger contest, maybe that's an angle that you could try to work in for Scotty Miller. Averages 16 yards per reception. So, you know, if you just get maybe three receptions out of him, you know, you're sitting at a pretty decent game right there, and maybe he breaks a long one. So that's your home run play, I think, is Scotty Miller. Let's go to the Tampa Bay tight ends. Cameron Brate missed Friday's practice with a back injury. It looks like he's going to be a game time decision. Back injuries are tricky. They aggravate easily. He had six targets in the earlier matchup, and his usage has consistently gone up lately, while Gronk's has basically been going down. But the injury and sharing with Gronk makes this a risky play at $7,200. still, you know, he's been fantasy viable here for all three of the Bucks playoff games. So there's a little something that you could get done with Cameron Brate here, $7,200, high risk. I think a lot of people will be really worried because you don't miss a Friday practice. It's usually a bad sign, needless to say. Then let's talk about Gronkowski. So if Brate is out, Gronkowski at $4,500 gets really interesting. In the earlier matchup, he led all Tampa Bay receivers, the earlier matchup with the Chiefs, week 12. He led all Tampa Bay receivers in yards. He had six catches for 106 yards. But since then, his average game is three catches for 23 yards. But again, if Brate's out, I think people are going to pile on Rob Gronkowski. You might want to, too, at only $4,500. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's break down the Kansas City side of the matchup. Welcome back. Paul Charchian with you, flying solo today, breaking down the Super Bowl from a fantasy perspective and specifically for DFS play and DraftKings in particular. That's where I like to play. I think myself and many of the people listening are DKNG owners. So, you know, we want to support the company we own a little tiny piece of. Why not? So let's go to the Kansas City side. I want to start with the running game again here like we did on the Tampa side because I feel strongly that you want to avoid all of the Kansas City runners. Le'Veon Bell maybe hobbling back is not even remotely in this conversation. Let's go to Darrell Williams. A lot of people really making a big mistake here, I believe. $7,800, way too high. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fully healthy, practicing full. And remember, when he's healthy, the other runners get ghosted in this offense. The average game in the month before his injury, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was averaging 14 carries for 54 rushing yards. For Darrell Williams, the month of games before Clyde Edwards-Helaire's injury, he averaged two carries for 10 yards. So we want no part of him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, healthy, I think that moves Darrell Williams to the bench, and I think your only prospects are a potential one-yard touchdown plunge for Darrell Williams. That's it, and I don't think you want to play those odds. So he's at $7,800, he's totally out for me. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at $10,500. I'm not a fan at that price. I've only got a C grade on him at that price because I think it's too expensive. Let's go to the passing game. We'll start with Patrick Mahomes. Most expensive player on the entire docket at $1,800. Sorry, $18,000. Went berserk in the Week 12 matchup with 462 yards and three touchdowns. He threw the ball 49 times, and we are going to get a ton of volume in this game. Tampa is the league's number one run defense by three different ways. Number one in rushing yards allowed, number two, yards per carry, and number three in rushing plays seen. No team gets run at less than Tampa. So you know it's going to be a ton of passing for Patrick Mahomes. Foot is fully healed, so that's some good news for him there. Volume's going to be really high, but the really big question here, how is this going to work without his two tackles? This is a huge question mark and one that could absolutely decide the outcome of this game. Mike Remmers is a massive liability. He's going to be playing the wrong side of the field from where he normally plays. He shouldn't be on a field, in my opinion, but he's going to go from right to left side. Then they're going to have a guard turned tackle and Andrew Wiley, who's going to have to play the other side. He doesn't normally, but we got both of the edges manned by guys who don't play there. It's a huge concern and should be. And I think it's going to mean that we're going to see Patrick Mahomes get the ball out a lot faster. We're going to see fewer downfield passes. I think that's going to affect Tyreek Hill in particular, although getting the ball quickly to Tyreek Hill is always a good idea too. But where he's so lethal has been the deep downfield stuff. I don't know that he's going to have time against the awesome pass rush that Tampa Bay can present against those backup tackles. Now, also of note, as you're thinking about the Kansas City passing game, Tampa's two starting safeties, Antoine Winfield Jr. and Jordan Whitehead, both look like they're going to play, but neither one is 100%. And so when Mahomes can get time to go deep, those safeties may not be in position to make the plays. So that's another consideration that you'll want to have in with your Patrick Mahomes decision at $18,000, and I've got a B grade on him. Let's go over to the wide receivers. Tyreek Hill is $15,600. He had the explosive game in the first matchup with 269 yards and three touchdowns. He was targeted 15 times, and he caught 13 of them, which is staggering. Hill runs 60% of his plays from the slot, where he will face Sean Murphy Bunting. By far the weakest link among Tampa's quarterbacks, cornerbacks. I know that he's got the interceptions in this playoff run, but just as a coverage corner, he's not that good. He allowed the second most touchdowns of all cornerbacks during the regular season. He gave up 81 yards in his coverage last week against Green Bay. And in the first meeting, Sean Murphy Bunting allowed 131 of Hill's 269 yards. So roughly half of all of Hill's yards came against Sean Murphy Bunting by himself. He also gave up two of Hill's three touchdowns. So I like Hill. I've got an A grade. I actually like him more than I like Mahomes at their relative prices. Let's migrate over to Sammy Watkins, $6,300. I've got a bench grade on him. I know he practiced in full on Friday, and he likely plays. But calf injuries are tricky. They're known for aggravation. He might be on a snap count. And he did nothing in the first meeting with Tampa. He primarily plays on the outside. He'll see Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis. Those are both competent quarterbacks. Watkins' matchup is neutral. $6,300. I think I'd rather spend the money elsewhere, but if you want him at that price, I guess you could. And I thought about making him a C just for the contrarian angle, but I don't like my contrarian angles to be guys that are injured if I can avoid it. So I've got a bench grade on Sammy Watkins at $6,300. The other receivers, let's go to Mecole Hardman. $8,400 seems like a lot for a guy who usually touches the ball two, three, maybe four times. Last week was his lowest snap count since Thanksgiving. And you know the deal on Hardman. You're just hoping that lightning strikes. Maybe you get a fluke return touchdown or something. When Hardman comes on the field, he faces depth cornerback Ross Cockrell. He forces, depth cornerback Ross Cockrell to play a second slot corner. It's not terrible, but by the standards of journeyman backup quarterback, cornerbacks, he's okay. And that's potentially a spot where Hardman could beat Cockrell. So, yeah, $8,400, though, just it feels like too much money for a guy who's going to only have the ball in his hands, you know, in most games, like two, three, four times. So I've only got a C grade on Hardman. Let's go a little deeper into the depth chart. DeMarcus Robinson, $2,100 is basically free. He was removed from the COVID list on Friday. He went untargeted in the previous game, the conference championship game. Total dart throw, but at $2,100, that's actually pretty compelling. And so is Byron Pringle. And by the way, I've got a C grade on DeMarcus Robinson. I've got a C grade on Byron Pringle. And I like Pringle better. He's only $2,700, so he's almost free too. Get this. The Chiefs receiver who played the most snaps last week, Byron Pringle. Who had the most snaps in Week 17? Byron Pringle. Who did Tyreek Hill go to bat for with the media during Super Bowl week? Byron Pringle says he's got to get on the field more often. If Watkins doesn't play fully, if Watkins doesn't play at all, I really like Pringle. If Watkins is only going to be on a snap count or whatever, and you're not going to know going in, Pringle's a fascinating play. I'd give him some thought at $2,700, a C grade on Pringle, and I actually like him better than DeMarcus Robinson. He's been way more active than Robinson has. So then we get to Travis Kelce as we migrate over to the tight ends. I've got some concern here. First, let me mention he was targeted eight times in the earlier meeting. He caught all eight of his passes, but he did not score. Tampa has struggled against tight ends throughout the second half of the season, including Robert Tonyan's touchdown last week and Logan Thomas's big game in that wild card round. But here's the question on Kelce that I don't think enough people are talking about. Is he going to have to stay back and block to help out Remmers and Wiley? You know, those backup tackles. I think I'm really nervous that Kelce's going to have to do a lot of blocking in this game. A lot. And that's why I am more nervous about Kelce in this game than almost any other game with Kelce, where normally you just put him in and forget about him. $16,500, a lot for a guy who's going to end up blocking. Now, you know, obviously Kelce's an elite player at his position, and he, in just real life fantasy, not putting a DFS price on it, anything else, he's usually a sure thing. But boy, $16,500 for a guy who's going to block a lot is really touchy. I've got a B grade on Travis Kelce, but I don't think he's going to have the explosive style games that he has had so far in the playoffs. All right, there you go. A 20-minute long breakdown of one game. Normally in Fantasy Football Weekly, we do our matchups in 5 minutes. This is a 20-minute matchup. Holy cow. Thank you for tuning in this week. We've got a bunch more great. We really start shifting to off-season topics beginning next week after the Super Bowl. Great for dynasty players, empire players, just anybody who's looking ahead to the 2021 season. We're going to start talking about some of the new coaching stuff. We've got some other odds and ends of items that you may have missed in December that we'll talk about as well. Thank you for listening. Fantasy Football Weekly. Talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.